following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You can't be predictable. That's number one. You cannot be predictable that everybody knows what you're going to do.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
All right, psychos. You don't even have to be that smart.
Don't even have to be that smart.
Well, I'm just saying this.
I'm in. Count me in.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Hey, did you get your walk in yesterday? No, I didn't have a snorkel.
For 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You should never use that kind of language in a public setting. That's all I can tell you.
You serious?
It's time for the Tri-City's number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
I'm feeling it. I need somebody to carry this team.
I'm feeling
all
it.
I'm doing is driving a cart.
Yeah, he's a man-child, but he isn't fully developed.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, need a vehicle, thinkmidway.com.
I don't know enough. I just know that, you know, why would you mess with those guys, you know? He shows up every day biting. Who's tougher?
Well, that guy's about 6 years over his prime.
Get your resume dusted off.
The sand is falling out of Mr. Duda's shorts right now.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
And a good Monday morning, everyone. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on the Doug and Danny Show, ESPN Radio. Glad to have you along with us as we continue our stretch and our walk, or for some folks, probably a run towards the fall sports season beginning. We've got quite a bit to talk about on today's show. Again, football heavy, volleyball getting started. We will be jumping into that and other fall sports, especially on the local scene. Coach Squire is going to join us from UNK on our Loper Link Wednesday. But continuing our football talk, Sean Callahan is going to join us from Husker Online as he's been at Husker practices. And I'm really interested to get a feel after Tuesday. Let's face it. The Huskers scrimmaged, and they didn't look good. Now, Jimmy, both of us were gone this weekend, and I'm going to tell you what, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to what happened over the last 5 days. I know that there's suspensions. We talked about it on the show, knew it was going to happen, didn't know it was five. One of the names, I'm telling you right now, a linebacker is going to be out. That's just what I'm hearing. We can't throw out the names that we heard because if it's wrong in this day and age, somebody's going to come after you or get after you. And that's why you don't hear the names or read the names or see the names, TV, radio, or newspaper. And there's no reason to throw these guys under the bus, but it's going to happen. So whether you talk about it today or you talk about it on September 5th when they trot out there on the field, we're going to find out what it is. And BYU's kind of in the same boat for a different reason. So we'll talk with Sean about what he's seen. Had that big scrimmage on Saturday. They threw all over the place. That's probably not good from a defensive standpoint, but when you're scrimmaging against each other, Jimmy, and one squad looks good, then that means the other one didn't look good. Most likely.
Yeah, if your offense and your defense are playing against each other and one side looks really good, where are you going? Immediately you go, man, we have trouble on this side of the ball. You know, in sports, sometimes you can be very successful and you don't have to be good at any one area. You just can't be bad in any one area. You know, and you can take a lot of teams and you look at that are very successful and they might be really good at defense. You know, and that can keep you in the game, kind of like pitching does in baseball. You know, if you have a really good pitcher, it can kind of keep you in the game. You may not win a lot of games, but it keeps you in it. And defense can keep you in it. A lot of things in football, if you're weak in that area, you can get really beaten bad. And I guess we saw that when Nebraska could not play the run game against Wisconsin. You know, we're a little weak against the run. Everything else we're doing is pretty good. Well, that's not going to be good enough today. So you made a good point. I got a question for you. I'm a little concerned here. You said in this day and age we can't say things over the radio. Am I covered liability-wise, or do I need to get some insurance? Because I might go out on the limb here one of these days and call out somebody. And
here's what I figured, Jimmy. If anybody comes after us personally, they ain't getting anything.
They're a good point.
They ain't getting anything.
That's a great point.
And the bosses will say that they never even know who we were. They're not even aware that we break in here every day and do a show at 11 o'clock.
Okay, good. Then I'm all right. Then I'm going to just go the way I've been. I'm going to shoot from the hip like we have been.
You know, the opinions on this show are not necessarily those of Platte River Radio Incorporated. Whatever.
Yeah, I hate to watch a Major League Baseball game on TV and then tell you what happened. Because there's a word called disseminated. You know, can that be, you know, so if I tell you, hey, I saw that last night on TV, I just make sure I'm covered. covered.
Also on the program today, we will talk with the quarterback at Minnesota, in Mitch Leidner, in our Big Ten chat for today. We'll talk with him. We've still got quite a few more from our time in Chicago that we're able to bring to you over the next week to 2 weeks. And our high school football preview, we're going to go to Amherst and Ron Evans. This is that class. I heard about it. I don't want to say every school, but let's face it. If you have lived, if you're a lifer of whatever community you are, you know that, oh my, these fourth graders, wow, when these, you know, or your team's struggling a little bit, you got anything coming up? Well, our sixth and seventh graders, we got some athletes in there at that young age. Well, this is that class for Amherst. They've had some, but they've graduated so few seniors the last couple of years. This class has been the one that's been talked about for a number of years. This class is hoping to make a run at Memorial Stadium and getting to Lincoln for the first time since 2000. So we will see if they have the guns. They're in the top 10. They're not in the top 2, but they're in the top 10. And their schedule, I look at it a little bit, and I don't see a powerhouse on their schedule. There's a couple games maybe at the end of the season that will be their most challenging games, but Amherst maybe has the capabilities to make a heck of a run. We'll talk with Coach Evans about that as well. Of course, the PGA Championship wrapped up over the weekend. I saw the last 13 holes yesterday, I think, when I got home. It was a coronation for Jason Day. In no way did I ever think 20 under would be the score that they could at this golf course at Whistling Straits that they would come away with. But Jordan Spieth is right there. And it is, I suppose, good for golf that, let's face it, in the majors this year, you can throw a blanket over 10 players and maybe 5 and say nobody else was ever really there. Even this Brendan Grace was there the last two times. Louis Oosthuizen, who didn't finish in the top 10 this week, but he was there. But it's Spieth. It's Day. It's you know, all the guys that have been right there. You know, Ricky McIlroy coming back, obviously. He played okay over the weekend. Mickelson played okay at times. So you got a handful of guys that have really dominated. There were no really dark horses in any of the majors this year.
Yeah, you're right. In the Masters, excuse me, in the Masters and the U.S. Open, that leaderboard was full of guys that say, hey, what do you think? Well, this guy finished in the top 10. If you got your board in Vegas, you know, those guys were up there at the top of the sheet. The only one that was really the long shot they had is when Johnson won the last one, and when he won the British Open, and it wasn't the right Johnson. If you take both Johnson, had that entry, the 1-1A entry on Johnson.
And Dustin was right there. He just never could put all four rounds together yesterday. Even, again, he took a quadruple bogey on the opening hole. He wasn't in contention, and even if he pars that hole, he wouldn't have been there, although 17 under would have looked pretty darn good. But he showed after that first hole yesterday, again, what he's capable of. He was 5 over after 4 holes and ended up shooting well under par yesterday. So that's part of it. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question, because it has to do with the golf. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. What has impressed you more, that Jordan Spieth set a calendar year combined major record score, which means he shot 54 under par in all of the majors, breaking Tiger Woods' record by a stroke, or Jason Day winning his first major and setting a major championship record score 20 under par? Well, there's no doubt it's the longer, the bigger the frame of work that you have. Jason Day is good, but he had the best weekend. Let's face it, you could pick any weekend. I think this is where we're at, and I will especially say this about the PGA. It just doesn't feel like a major. It feels like any other neat golf tournament over the weekend that most of the big guys are playing in. World Golf Championship, the Players' Championship down at Ponte Vedra, whatever the case is. I mean, it's a major, and Jason won it, and everybody's playing the same course. And Spieth played very well, but to set the scoring record, it'll be broken again. You played at St. Andrews this year, which is the easiest of all the British Opens. So, yeah, that's nice. But I'll go with Jordan Spieth being 54 under for the four majors.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What an amazing accomplishment, and how close he came to really running the table. You know, a lot of times you'll win. I mean, not all the time do you win two tournaments, you know, but to come within a stroke of being in the playoff at the British Open. He was one shot back. I mean, in fact, I think he parred or bogeyed the last hole and had an unlucky break, or he would have been in that playoff. You know, he would have been in the playoff with those other three guys. And then to hear he just gets beat by a guy that shoots a phenomenal round. I mean, if he'd have told him he was going to shoot 17 under, he'd have said, I'll put that score up there somebody go beat me, you know. And then if he gets somebody shoots.
And only one guy did.
Yeah, and if he shoots 18 under. You're going, dang it. He could have shot 22 under and beat him. You know, so it doesn't matter. He put up a score that normally should have won it.
And Jordan Spieth will be the golfer of the year. But on a normal year, when you have some of those guys that just kind of, on these majors, they come in, they come out, they were there for one of them. But, I mean, Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen, all could have made a case for being the golfer of the year with the kind of resume they put up this year. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question over the weekend, did you learn anything from the first NFL preseason games? 86% said no. Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question.
86%. The other 14, did.
They must have. They saw Tebow play or something.
Doug, real quick, there was a great exchange between Bubba Watson and one of the officials that was in their group. You know, and he was the guy that makes the official decisions on things. Did you happen to see that? Okay, Bubba Watson hit a ball into like an ant place where like the ants, like a nest where the ants built their nest. And the ball's in there a little bit. And he goes, he wanted to know if he could get relief. And they had an exchange. And, you know, I didn't really like the way Bubba Watson handled what the man told him. He said, hey, I'll get a second opinion here. You know, and I'll ask for some, you know, I'll do what I need to do. And he went in there and he asked, and he goes, nope, they said, nope, you got to play it where it is. And he goes, you're telling me that this isn't an animal hole? And he got into it and he said, now, what if I was allergic to ants? I mean, he challenged him that hard. I didn't think it looked real well. He ended up birding the hole anyway. But, I mean, he really got excited about whether or not, you know, and I don't know the rules about golf, but I do know if that was my ball, I'm moving it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
exactly right. I just kind of felt that it's too bad. And I thought maybe it was something that maybe as soon as it got kind of going the wrong direction, I might have just changed and we'd have watched a different hole.
Like Salvi last night. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Sean Callahan. He's at Husker practice. It's going on right now. Back after this.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with considerable cloud cover today, along with some developing showers and storms with a high temperature around 74. Winds out the northeast day at 5 to 15. Tonight with showers and storms, we'll head down to 61. I'm Paul Frobley.
Right now, 63.
Doug and Daddy's show rolling along on a Monday, the 17th of August. 2 weeks away from high school football, 3 weeks away and a little under for the college football season to begin since September 3rd. A few of those games get going. And there to watch it all, our friends at TNL Irrigation, they want to get harvest taken care of for you so that they can all sit back and watch the great football games. And with the harvest fast approaching, they're thinking ahead. You can act now and take advantage of TNL Irrigation's Harvest special pricing. Save $9,000 on a quarter-mile pivot and experience why T&L irrigation systems are like no other by contacting your local T&L dealer like Kyle Stewart at RK Irrigation in Grand Island or Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge, or visit them online at TLIRR.com. T&L irrigation systems are like no other. And we welcome in from Husker practice, Sean Callahan, waiting for it to break up from Husker Online. Huskers took yesterday off. They flipped it. They went from the night practices. They're going to the morning practices. Classes begin next week, and preparation will begin. There's plenty to talk about. Sean, good morning. How's things looking?
Well, you know, it's grinding away. It's hard to believe there's still really 3 weeks left of practice though, until the opening game. This starting, after this week, as you mentioned, there'll be 2 full weeks left before that opener. But we got a very good glimpse of this team on Saturday night. I mean, they did over 100 plays of live scrimmaging in Memorial Stadium, and those are the practices where you really learn a lot about your team.
Let's talk a little bit about that and talk a little bit about some other things. We're going to be, as we talk to the show today, Jimmy and I have both been gone for about 4 days, so I had to keep up as usual by reading and looking and listening to the Big Red Report and all the things that you guys have been putting up there. And from Saturday's scrimmage, I saw a lot of our area names up there, some positive, some not positive. Let's start with one of the most positive, I guess, as it could possibly be, is that Riker Fife, who a month ago or 3 weeks ago, we weren't even sure was going to be trotting out there to practice on the 6th of August, and now he's got a stranglehold on the number 2 spot at quarterback.
Yeah, it's really an interesting story because we, like you said, nobody knew his situation since he was away for a lot of the summer, not going through the drills and the workouts with the team, and obviously he was dealing with a private personal issue, and you know he's come back, and the coaches have had a lot of confidence in him and given him opportunities, and he's taken advantage of them. And it was clear in the reps of the scrimmage. I mean, Tommy Armstrong and Riker Fife took the first 70-plus plays of that scrimmage. They rotated series. And then Darlington and Bush came in after those guys were done with their work with the number 3s and the number 4s. So the way they've got it formatted is he's the guy. And he engineered a couple of very nice drives. He threw 3 touchdown passes. Two of them were to Stanley Morgan, and just managed a good huddle out there on the field and really did what he was supposed to do. And it's good to see because everybody knows Riker is a great kid and has kind of paid his dues. And, you know, no one really knew what was going to happen with him being gone this summer, what that meant. But I'm glad he's back, and he looked good on Saturday.
Hey, you know, my dad was a high school principal and was in education for a long time. And he told me the first thing that somebody new comes in is they move your desk because you always had it in the wrong spot. You know, he said, I'm going to move your desk. That's the first move they make because you had that thing in the wrong spot. Well, it's kind of interesting is the old coaching staff had the quarterback situation. Armstrong 1, 5-2. All right, we've spent a lot of time figuring out who 1 and 2 is, but guess what? Now we're on August 15th. And we got the same 2 guys, 1 and 2. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to predict that it's a little more close that the old coaching staff had the players in the right positions when we finally get back to it. We're going to see the cream come to the top. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right on that quarterback spot. I mean, that's kind of how it played out. And A.J. Bush was always kind of looked at as a project player when he came here. He was never looked at as their first quarterback option, but he had so many tools and upside, and that's what stood out in the spring. And Darlington's got the head issues with the concussion from a couple years back. So both those guys, I think, have more questions around them in those areas. Where Riker Fife, anyone that knows who he is, I mean, really the only reason he didn't get Division I offers is because he didn't go to any football camps because the baseball program at Grand Island didn't allow the baseball players to do football camps that year in the summertime. Which prevented him from getting very much recruiting attention. So I think Riker would have been a Division I offer guy at a lot of places, and He's shown that again, and it's not a surprise probably to anybody listening in your area right now.
Talking with Sean Callahan on the Doug and Daddy Show from Husker Online. Huskers are practicing right now. And, Sean, then A.J. Bush comes in. Luke McNitt of Kearney sees a little action, makes a nice catch. And then Garrett Poppin from down the road, he steps up and picks off A.J. Bush. Will either one of those at this point be significant to Nebraska's play this year?
You know, both will probably have a shot on special teams. I'd say for sure Luke McNitt is a special teams guy. I think Poppin's in the conversation. You know, I don't. Poppin will not see the field in the regular defense. I mean, that was number threes and number fours that he was in there with. But I think McNitt, when you look at the tight end grouping after Seaton Carter, it's very, very even with the next guys. I think Matt Snyder, the young freshman, is going to be a player. But Sam Cotton, Trey Foster, and McNitt, those three are also all right there, in my opinion. And McNitt's a playmaker. If he just gets the ball in his hands, he makes plays. The other day, he ran over a guy in a scrimmage that tried to tackle him in the open field and had a nice catch again on Saturday in the scrimmage they had. So I think he's been a real nice addition. Now, I don't know if this is the year we're going to see him play a ton. I could even see him being converted to like a fullback role once Janovich is gone. I think he'll have a role in this program, though, the next three seasons. A
couple more kids. I guess kickers are a lot like golfers. When you're in the zone and you're having a year, you've got it all clicking, and just the little niche, all of a sudden, instead of shooting, you know, three under every tournament, you're shooting even par, or you're kicking at 60 yards instead of 50. But Fulte has been right on. And I guess we'll see if that translates. He's been consistent pretty much his whole career. On the flip side, down the road at Hastings, it looks like Zach Stirrup is not in that starting role at this point.
Yeah, you know, he came back off that knee injury, and he's been in there, obviously, and they gave him the chance the first few days of the number one offense, and the protection was just breaking down, and they made the switch to Nick Gates at that moment in that practice. I don't know if it was the first few days of camp. And when Gates went in there, the right side really solidified and the pressure wasn't as much. And Mike Cavanaugh mentioned that even. He goes, I thought the right side really held up well once we got Nick Gates in there. So I think Nick Gates has got his opportunity, and he's shown. And he, too, was a high-profile four-star recruit that had everybody in the country on him. I think with Stirrup, you know, the injuries have slowed him down a little bit. You know, he doesn't maybe move quite as well as he did before, and he's just trying to get himself back. And he's with the number twos right now as it looks today, but a lot can change with injuries and other things going forward.
You know, the other thing interesting about Nebraska's offense to me will be the scores of these games. You take a guy like Carter, I think he's one of the receivers in the tight end position, and a guy like him might see 80% of playing time if the games are close and you don't have that opportunity where you feel like you can sub in. Your thoughts on something like that, where Nebraska doesn't look like, and when I look at their schedule, it doesn't appear to me, except for maybe two games, where the winner could be determined in the third quarter.
Well, they don't really, they're not going to sub a ton regardless. Offense or defense. I mean, I don't think this staff is about playing the politics of keeping everybody happy. They want to win, and they're not going to just rotate offensive linemen or rotate offensive linemen or defensive guys to rotate them. I mean, they believe that the continuity is in keeping the same group on the field. So I wouldn't expect to see a ton of over-rotating going on. But you're right on the schedule. Other than South Alabama, which they did go to a bowl game, by the way. It's not like South Alabama is going to come in here as some patsy. They went to a bowl last year, and then you know, Southern Miss. Other than that, it's pretty tough because, you know, even the Purdue and Illinois games, they're on the road. And I don't care who you play on the road in the Big Ten. It's tough going on the road regardless. So there are really no easy games. When your easiest Big Ten home game is Northwestern, that's pretty scary on paper because we all know how good Northwestern can be at times.
Yeah, but they just said they can't unionize. It just came down. That's the national story right now, is that Northwestern can't unionize. I'm going to tell you another thing. I've harped on this, just like the next question that I brought out. I think South Alabama, and we'll see, I'll say top eight, might be in the top half of the opponents Nebraska plays this year. I know they're not getting any pub. I'm going to continue to hang on that for another couple weeks. But one thing that we've also been talking about, as we say, Sean, everybody asks us, what do you think of the Husker, blah, 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 and how you respond. Same thing. You've heard me say it before. Very concerned about the running game. And now Coach Riley's very concerned about the running game. What happened Saturday?
Well, there just wasn't a lot of consistency. I mean, just a lot of 2-yard runs, 3-yard runs, but not very many 5-, 6-, 7-yard runs of consistency. And that's where, as a coach, but then there'd be a few 20-, 25-yard runs that were sprinkled in there. But when the number one defense is out there, it was a lot of 2-yard runs. And I think that's what you worry about. You want that consistency in the running game where, you know, you're going to get more yards and things like that. And then it just didn't show on Saturday.
Sean Callahan with us for another couple minutes. Don't want to be chatting with him when practice breaks, because then it's a free-for-all a little bit. But, Sean, so what do we think about the defense? I think you're on the same page with me and most of the analysts that we thought the defense would probably be a little farther ahead than the offense going into the first game. So they were pretty good on the run stop, but not so good in the secondary, I guess, which was supposed to be maybe the strength.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard to slice and dice that, because some of those touchdowns were, a lot of them were with the number twos. So what are we looking at here? The number two defense, the number one defense? I felt like the number one group did hold their own pretty well. You know, a lot like when Riker Fife was in, that was against the number twos. So I think that's what you have to look at, too, when you analyze a scrimmage. Who are you doing it against? The thirds, the fourths, the twos, the ones? And I think a lot of those came against the twos, which is something that I'm not going to, you know, say that the secondary's got a bunch of problems and stuff at this point. Because
hey,
Nathan Gary is going to be a player. I mean, he really has looked good all throughout camp.
Yeah, on the defensive side of the ball, maybe you answered a question there for us. What couple players can they not lose to injury? Right now, you know, we're scrimmaging. We're going after each other. It looks like these practices are set up. So people they're finding out still who can play and who can't play. And when that does happen, you do have that risk of injury. Which players could we not lose on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I think Gary, he's the quarterback of that back end for Nebraska's defense. And Rose Ivy and Banderas, a linebacker, are very important guys. And Malik Collins and Valentine in the middle. I mean, and you can throw Gangwish. I mean, all four of those starting defensive linemen are vitally important for this season. And they're going to really count on those guys to take a lot of snaps and be productive. And, you know, they don't have a lot of subs behind them. So they're good on defense, but they're very thin in some key areas still.
And last minute here with Sean Callahan of Husker Online. The suspensions, that came out late last week while both Jimmy and I were out of the studio. I've got that. I'll ask you, how many of them do you absolutely know? I mean, I know we can't say, but how many of the players do we know that we just can't say?
Well, I don't know absolutely 100% for sure, but I have a pretty good idea who 3 or 4 of them are. And I would say 3 of them are the names I've heard, you know, fairly significant names. So we'll see kind of how that all plays out and what they do going forward. But until the head man actually confirms those names, it's kind of hard to for anybody to really run with much speculation, because it's not fair to the athletes to – guess names at this point, if they're going to be suspended or not.
And finally, Sean, we've asked a few questions, but you have had all kinds of observations from you and your crew on Husker Online. What's something else that we haven't touched on that maybe the fans need to know from this last week?
Stanley Morgan, you know, I think his emergence at receiver has been one of the real stories in camp. Westerkamp, Pearsonell, and Brandon Riley kind of were the big three at receiver. Well, they all battled different injuries throughout camp, and this true freshman's come in here and really turned heads. He had 3 touchdown catches in the scrimmage on Saturday. There's no doubt he's going to have a factor in this offense and be a player. And, you know, he could be a starter by years, and you never know. I mean, they really, really like this kid right now.
Well, you can't give us the 5 names, and you said you knew 3 or 4 of them. Can you tell us this just for my own? Are these offensive players, defensive players, or both?
I'm not going to go. I'm not going to
say both, Sean. Say both.
All right. Thanks,
Sean. We will. And finally, the night versus the morning. Are they doing anything different?
You know, I just think that practice has moved up, and then they're going to have more meetings at night. So the players will still be here fairly late, They just changed to when the practice is. I think probably just to kind of get the players' body clocks moved around a little bit here as they get closer to the school schedule.
And the next scrimmage will be this weekend or before that?
Probably Saturday, but you never know. I mean, every coach is different about that. Like, Pelini would always get touchy. He would never like to announce when the scrimmages are because he didn't want the players to, like, know that going in. He wanted them just to kind of be ready for anything. So if they hold it to the way they did last week, it'll probably be Saturday again.
All right, we'll get ready for Sean to make his appearance, as always, for our Husker lunches. It'll start in Grand Island the Wednesday before the BYU game, September the 2nd, and we'll have our Husker lunches again throughout the season in the Tri-Cities. So, Sean, we'll keep an ear out for you and keep up the great work. Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Sean Callahan, whose daughter likes pancakes, by the way. Kit loves pancakes.
Is that right?
She's a pancake person.
Hey, Sean gave us some information, but he didn't give us exactly what we needed. But he, you know, very professional in the way he handled it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can know, but you can't say.
Yeah, he said, you know, Luke McNett, that's good for Luke McNett. You know, it sounds like to me he might be able to play. You know what's kind of interesting is, you know, he said they aren't going to substitute. There's a certain time you have to substitute, even if you don't want to keep people fresh. You know, I mean, you could have some players that you're thinking, hey, you know what? You're out there at 75%. We need to get you some water. We need to get you out for three or four plays or a series. Because, you know, a lot of that's predetermined.
But that's what they're saying, Jimmy.
They're saying they're not going to do this.
They're
this
not
year.
Doing a 10-man rotation on the line. This was one of the things that was said early on. And, again, I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, you know, a guy gassed. He puts his hand on his head, says, I need out this play. It's not going to be for a quarter, a series. At least that's the way they've got it drawn up right now. And I think one of the reasons why, honestly, that's what they're used to doing. Coach Riley has said it. I'm not used to this kind of depth. We may have Coach Kavanaugh on the line. We may have 10 guys that can play. I want to play five. I want to play six, depending on, you know, what we're doing up there. That's the way we want to do it. That's the way they're used to coaching. They're not used to having guys that they can rotate in, and so that probably plays into their philosophy a little bit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, on the defensive side of the ball, I am very concerned about when he said, this is a concern, but it's also good. It's nice to have six guys that you think may have a chance to be all Big Ten, you know, because that's basically what he said. He named six guys that these guys are really good football players, but he said it is so far between that guy and the next guy. There's a huge depth of concern here. And, you know, I'll tell you what, when Nebraska had its heyday and they had their running backs, they broke tackles. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, this wasn't just something the offensive line some of these guys broke some tackles. Lawrence Phillips broke a tackle or two. Amon Green broke some tackles. They were hit for 2 yard gains too. You got to be able to break some tackles. And I don't care, Amir Abdullah, that's what he did. He kind of broke some tackles. Our running backs have got to be able to get out there and break some tackles because you can't block everybody all the time. You got to make one guy miss.
Well, one thing I've noticed after years of paying attention, more than just rooting, but paying attention to the Huskers or any team, is that when you come out of a scrimmage like this or a practice like this or the spring or any time in the spring, and you can only talk – the positive at that position is when you're talking about the fourth-string guy, like Ozigbo at running back. It's not good. Here's your chance to win bragging rights and great flag prizes. You can tee it up this Friday at the almost annual Jerseys Golf Tournament at Meadowlark Hills. Shotgun start is at 1 o'clock. Stick around for cash prizes and burgers following the tournament. Then head to Jersey's Sports Bar to celebrate. Get your four-person scramble team signed up today by stopping into Jersey's and get ready to win it all. Beautiful Meadowlark Hills hosting the almost annual Jersey's Golf Tournament this Friday. Shotgun start, 1 o'clock for your four-person team. We'll be back talk high school football with Ron Evans at Amherst and chat with Minnesota quarterback Mitch Leidner. At the end of the show, stay with us.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
If you're looking for a new career or promotion, maybe you need to hit the road. The Nebraska Safety Center offers professional truck driver training to improve your driving skills and certify you with a Professional Truck Driver Institute. That certification paves a smooth road to finding a great paying job. Right now, get trained and certified for a new career for only $2,300. Classes are small and fill up quickly. Financial aid is available. Details and registrations are on the Nebraska Safety Center website or call 308-865-8256.
Your customers make your business. Every day you want to attract new customers and keep the ones you have. At the same time, running your business within a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, wall graphics, banner stands, and even wraps for your company vehicles. Copycat Printing can help you stand out at the fair or conventions with a booth that will turn people's heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, 21st and Avenue A in the downtown Kearney Center, or visit their website, kearneycopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
At John Deere, we know you wouldn't buy a car without taking it for a spin. And it's, well, just a car. So you'll definitely want to get behind the wheel and test drive the brand new John Deere S240 Sport, equipped with a powerful V-twin engine and heavy-duty hydrostatic transmission. Available exclusively at your local John Deere dealer.
Find your full line of John Deere products at Oregon Trail Equipment, with locations in Hastings, Fairfield, Hebron, Red Cloud, Superior, and Marysville, Kansas.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Every Friday home game at Kauffman Stadium is Buck Night, presented by Visit KC. Nothing beats ripping into a bag of peanuts or treating yourself to a hot dog at the K, especially when they're only a buck a piece. Fill up on your favorite ballpark classics while watching your favorite ball club take the field every Friday. For more information on ways to save, visit royals.com/fanvalue. Then come to every Buck Night this season to cheer on the boys in blue and help make the 2015 season forever royal.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't
Doug and Daddy's show, Doug to Jim Langan, returning on this Monday. I want to thank Randy Bushcutter for taking care of the last couple of days of the Doug and Daddy show, and Monty Kratzenstein coming in on Friday. Happy birthday to Big Monty, by the way. Had his birthday over the weekend. And the thing about social media, Jimmy, is now when events like that take place, they post old-time photos.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, Monty, back into coaching days with all that hair, sporting the stash. Woo-hoo! College man! Just getting out and getting going.
That was the style back then. That was the style. You know, now the people have mustaches and a little beard, you know, just a baby one. Just a little baby one. Kind of like you.
This ain't baby.
All right.
Also, it's my niece's birthday today. So happy 8th birthday to Erica. Since we're talking birthdays, I better wish happy birthday to Erica.
Hey, since we're on a roll, it's my sister's anniversary today. August 17th.
She's August 17th. Good job for her.
Sister. That's my sister.
Yeah.
Her anniversary.
I'm going to say.
I think it's a bunch.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Also, just want to say again, and I know Coach Evans from Amherst can probably throw something out here too, but just, again, out of state, I wanted to be in Ravenna Saturday night, but, again, it looked like there were plenty of people in Ravenna for Coach Baronic's benefit, and so keep up the good work, folks, and we continue to cross our fingers not only for Coach Paul Baronic but to all those that are battling cancer, so wish nothing but the best for him. It is time for our high school football preview, and Ron Evans from Amherst joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning. How's summer been treating you?
Well, not too bad. Good morning to you guys.
Great to talk a little football. You get jacked up as much this year. Is the level a little even more for the coach?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. You know, you do this long, and all the things kind of even out for you. You don't get too high or too low. Learn to do that to keep my health, but it's been fun. Things have turned out nicely so far. So,
but Jimmy, you know when a crew's coming through. When you were a coach, you knew when one year was supposed to be different than another. It has to play out though a little bit.
Yeah, when those guys graduated, I just resigned. That's what I did. And found something else. I'd go coach volleyball or something, and then, you know, then I'd come back. Hey, Coach, question for you this year. When I look at your all the skill positions you have, you're loaded at skill positions. I know you're concerned about your offensive line and your defensive line up front being able to stop the run. Are you going to take some of these skill guys and put them in the offensive line? Are you going to expect them to block a little bit more than you have been in previous years, maybe play defense up front? Or are you just going to keep them at skill positions? Because you had a transfer move in, too, that seems to catch the ball. When you catch 7 touchdown passes at Mullen, that's like catching 70 at SEM.
He commented, this is Peyton Call we're talking about, he came in from Mullen, he commented the other day that we were running a passing drill, and he said this is more passes caught in one day than Mullen caught in one year. So we do have a little bit different style, yes. And yes, we're going to, a lot of those kids are going to have to play more than one position. We've already worked on it. Things are looking pretty good in that aspect. So our offense is not that complicated that they can't figure out how to block and also to catch the ball and run. So we're going to expect a lot from certain individuals to play more in one position.
Talk with Ron Evans of Amherst here on our high school preview. They will open the season on that Friday the 28th. Now remember, the Class D schools still play the 8-game schedule, so they'll play Shelton at home and then have a bye and go on the road for 2 weeks. So that first game at home will be the only one there for a little while. But we talked about it, and I'm sure you can't avoid it around the small town of Amherst, is that this is that class, and they have made steps. Last year they ran into a Fullerton team that had one of the best players in the state. You made the state semifinals 2 years ago, so there are so many expectations being heaped on this senior class. How do you keep it all in perspective?
Well, they've just got to understand that we're not going to focus on any big goals at the end. We've got to just focus on one game at a time. And I know that's trite and been used a lot, but for this bunch, that's how it's going to have to be, because we can't look out ahead and try to predict what's going to happen, because that'll get us in big trouble. So
how do you do that, Ron? I'm guessing every coach has a little different way to do that. What's your game plan?
Well, we'll just play it like normal. I'm not going to do anything differently with them. We don't treat anything different this year than we did last year. At least I don't think I am. So I'm just trying to, just play it normal and play calm and not get them all worked up and just, work the one game at a time and see what happens. We're pretty talented, but, some things aren't meant to be and some things are, and that's the attitude we're going to take. We're going to do our best every game, and hopefully things work out for us.
Yeah, Coach, last year when you looked at your team and the scheduling, you can't control who you play or who you might get loaded up with, in the playoffs. It looks to me, appears to me, that Burwell might be a tough matchup, in your district. Other than that, I don't see anybody on your schedule that I'd just be afraid to play. Axtell, I think, will always is trying to play you and has always looked forward to that game, but they haven't had a lot of success. But they have been an opponent that you need to compete with. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's for sure. There's a couple, 3-4 teams on the schedule that we played last year that have gotten better. Burwell's going to be solid. They've got some really good players. Axtell's going to be solid. They had some young players that are developing, or seniors and juniors this year, and they were athletic last year, so they'll be somebody to reckon with. Ansley Litchfield can be big, and with a new coach, you don't know exactly how they're going to work, but they've got some skilled players. So South Loop's going to be better. They got a lot of young, real young kids that are pretty good players. So we're going to have our work cut out for us week to week, because we kind of got the target on us. So we'll have to take on the challenges.
Ron Evans with us for another couple minutes talking Amherst football as they get ready for the season. Take me through that first week of practice. How did it go?
Well, it went pretty well. We've had to change up a few things because of some, regulations and rules as far as padding and stuff, but it went well. We had, I was pleased with our conditioning over the summer. Our speed and agility has improved, across the board for the most part. We've had some players that necessarily didn't contribute much last year are going to be big contributors this year, and they'll do fine. So the first week was good. We got a lot of the offense installed, and a little bit of the defense. We'll work more defense this week, and we're gonna have a little scrimmage towards the end of this week, and then we'll be ready to play that next Friday.
there are Class A coaches that would love to have the quarterback-receiver combination that you're going to have, a four-year starter. They all grew up in the program. They've played a ton of games. It's hard to believe that Braden Eckhout and Ty Hadwiger are ready to move on, and you got Taubenheim at the quarterback position. A couple years ago, you ran it all the time. Last year, you were able to be a lot more diverse. When you're so far ahead of the game, what do you do with these guys to even make them better this year?
Well, it's just one football for all of them, and we're going to try to spread it out, and we'll probably be a little bit more, Oregon Duck-like. I don't know how to explain it, Arizona-like in our offense than we have been in the past. We'll still run the ball, but I think we'll probably run it more out of a spread and wide formations and use our weapons as best we can. You know, we're going to spread it around and isolate people and find the best matchup and see if we can take advantage of it. We got pretty good skill players, and even the second-level kids are pretty good, too.
Your coach, seems to me with the jet sweep action and some things you can do that way about spreading out the field, that the defense is going to have to spread themselves out quite a bit. How important is Colton Burke going to be for you this year running the football?
He's going to be the main key, because if we can run the ball and they're worried about him, and I'm sure they probably will be to some point, they're going to – that takes away the emphasis or the coverage on Braden and Ty Hadwiger and the rest of the boys. So he's going to be and he's a good receiver too, Colton is. So he's good out of the backfield, good running back, gives us some yards when we need it. And also he's going to be somebody to pay attention to so we can take the pressure off the other boys.
Ron Evans, head football coach at Amherst. I know the rankings kind of have the Western teams in D1, depending on who you look at. The World Herald may have Amherst a little higher than Huskerland Prep, but it's Elm Creek, it's Blue Hill, it's Hemingford, the state champ, and Amherst, kind of the teams that are representing the West. And none of those on your schedule, ironically, Elm Creek just down the road, I suppose would be nice to play and test your ball club. So,
sure.
The expectations are there. I guess I'm not even quite sure how to put this. Are you pleased with where your boys are at? I know coaches don't look at rankings, but the kids do.
Well, be honest with you, I didn't even know what our ranking was. I just got the Huskerland Prep report, and I haven't opened it up yet. That always makes me a little anxious and nervous when I see what people have for us expectation wise. You know, we have our own expectations, but rankings, the boys like the rankings and stuff, and I always tell them the main ranking counts, that one at the end of the season, so let's work on getting real high in that one.
Yeah, Coach, the only thing I can look at on your team is the fact that you lost a couple kids on graduation that were quality players last year. You got these guys stepping up. Defensively is going to be the key if you get long enough into the playoffs, when you get into that final eight. Because I think last year, a Fullerton running back who ended up getting hurt, there was really no solution for that. I mean, you did not have a solution. And your players are going, well, we haven't seen a running back like this all year long, so you really didn't have a chance to in practice to kind of to make any type of a copy so you could say, hey, this is what this guy's going to do. But I think after playing him, I think maybe everybody knows how you need to step up and get after that. And I think defensively in those last, when you get to that final 16 or final eight, that's going to be the key, whoever plays defense the best. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the key. We can score as many points as we want, but if we can't stop the other team, it's going to be pretty serious trouble for us. So I think we'll be better defensively than we were last year. And the Sonderup boy from Fullerton, we couldn't tackle him, and I don't know if there's anybody else could tackle him either. He was very, very good. So, but we did struggle that one time with the running game, and then we struggled Burwell a little bit trying to stop the pass. But I think our depth and our abilities will help us out this year. I think we'll do better.
All right, Coach. We'll look forward to seeing you guys down the road and chatting again later. So keep them healthy and have a great 2015.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for the interview.
You bet, buddy. Ron Evans, head coach of the Amherst Broncos. Anywhere from 3 to 6 is what I've seen so far in the preseason rankings in D1. Remember when they made the semifinals, they played D2. Not that that sometimes, I think in the playoffs, when you get to that final eight, it really doesn't make any difference whether you're playing Falls City, Sacred Heart, and Stewart, or whether you're playing Elm Creek, Blue Hill, Hemingford, BDS. I mean, they all can play with each other.
Yeah, this is a type of team here, and honestly, that can win a state championship. I mean, they're the type of team that can. Loomis had a team similar to this in D2 a few years ago, and you know, kind of had that group that did that stuff where they were very good on offense. But you got to find a way to play defense. But you know, what I've noticed sometimes is these really good athletes. You know what I mean? You put them in and say, you know what? You're going to have to play linebacker today, and we're going to have to stop this run. They find a way to get it done. So, you know, this type of team, it's not a guarantee, but they definitely, you know, would be very disappointed if they don't make it to the final 16 teams.
Well, let's take a look at what's going on at our Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, and the Midway Auto Outlet. With over 25 makes available of pre-owned vehicles, they have 250-plus in all price ranges on their lot. And then the Chevy Summer Bonus Tag event runs through the end of the month. Find your tag and choose your deal. Get 0% APR, an additional $1,000 purchase cash, or an additional $500 lease bonus cash, depending on what you do, on select vehicles. Choose the deal that fits your needs. And if you're looking over at the Dodges, a great deal during their summer clearance event, 1.9% for 60 months, plus $1,000 bonus cash on select 15 darts that get up to 41 miles to the gallon on the highway. Go to thinkmidway.com to view them all, or stop by the dealership, South 2nd Avenue, Midway Auto Dealerships in Kearney. We'll be back and hear from Mitch Leidner, the quarterback from Minnesota. We'll talk a little baseball as well. Alex Gordon, Jabba Chamberlain, both in Omaha. They might sell some tickets. Back after this.
Nebraska weather is so unpredictable. Don't be left out in the storm with hail dents or even door dings. When your car plays the star in the episode of Nebraska Severe Weather, see the professionals at Dent Popper in Kearney to save you. Dent Popper can remove minor hail damage, door dings, and other minor dents without damaging the original paint. Joel, Scott, and the guys at Dent Popper know how important your vehicle is to you, and keeping it looking nice is what they do. Stop into Dent Popper today, just south of the library on First Avenue in Kearney.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
While dreams of sugar plums dance in some little heads, does your child dream of combines and cornfields instead? CHS AgriService Center wants to be the company that helps you make those dreams come true. Family farms are passed down from generation to generation, and CHS has prided themselves in being here in the communities, the schools, and on the farm, helping you make those dreams come true. CHS AgriService Center, people and resources you can count on always, and always here at chsagra.com.
Another way to shop local and save big at ShopWheelerDealer.com is with Sportsman's Restaurant and Lounge in Gibbon, including Wednesday steak and shrimp, Thursday chicken fried steak, Friday buffet, Saturday prime rib, and Sunday brunch specials. To subscribe to deals of the day sent right to your phone, text the words Wheeler Dealer to 90210. Shop local, save big, ShopWheelerDealer.com.
Doug and Daddy's show, so took a couple days off, and they're doing some remodeling around the office. It's taking me a couple. It's going to take me a while to find all the things that used to be here in the office, Jim.
But it's clean here.
Well, yeah,
I like this place.
It's freshened up. They did a good job.
Yep.
Some of our in-studio guests throughout the year won't recognize the change.
No.
There's not enough room to hang up our stuff anymore, though. I'm a little concerned.
Oh, I kind of like this. This gets cleaned up. This is a lot better. I think, you know, I'm unfortunately, you and I couldn't throw anything away. You know what I mean?
We are pack rats. I think some of it got done for us, though. If you would like to be part of our program, we'd always love to hear from you at 888-455-ESPN, or you can tweet us at ESPN 1460-1550, and the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You went down and watched the Royals this weekend, and the house is full. How are your seats, and how was the excitement?
Everything was great. Mike Sweeney was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Did you know that? On Saturday night?
Yeah, I got a story to go along with that one. Should I just tell it right now?
Yeah, fire away. You go first.
Here's the deal. Of course, for our listeners for a long time, Big Daddy Tony Davis and I did the program for about 8 years, me and him, as co-hosts with each other. He hated Mike Sweeney. This was the down years of the Royals, and Sweeney was the best player for a long, long time. But they signed him to a contract, and then he hardly ever played. And here's what I got on Saturday from him. He texts me this while I'm out of town. Mike Sweeney's getting inducted tonight into the Royals Hall of Fame. This just in. His back tightened up, and he was unable to attend.
He's always had back problems.
Well, he's always injured. He always had some kind of an excuse. That was Tony hated him.
Tony didn't care for Mike
Sweeney.
When
I went to the World Series last year, there was a guy in a Sweeney jersey two rows ahead of me, so I took a picture and sent it.
Had a Sweeney jersey
so anyway,
on.
The rest of your weekend.
No, I mean, but the whole induction, and you see players, there's some of the players, and you reminisce about it. But what Sweeney said is he talked about his career and playing, and he said, but the most important role moment he enjoyed the most of all the things that he was involved with the Royals as a fan watching the 2014. He said, you players right over here, and he pointed to their dugout because they were watching the ceremony. He says, you took this city by your wings, and we're so proud of you. And I'll tell you what, that alone got Mike Sweeney in the Hall of Fame, and the people just absolutely roared. And then, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this, you guys, but when the Royals win, they got this guy dressed up like he's in 1920. He goes out in this Hall of Fame, and he takes a W out and puts it on the board. Well, so he did it on Friday night when they won. Well, on Saturday when they won, Mike Sweeney's out there with them carrying it out.
Oh, cool.
You know, Mike Sweeney's got a suit on, and he carried it and showed it to everybody. And you put it, and the guy showed him where to put it, and he put it up, and the place went absolutely wild. So that was kind of a good idea, you know, the way they do that. And, you know, you get to, and since they had George Brett was out there on the field, and, you know, all the people that Denny Matthews and all the people that I, you know, have been around with Kansas City. So, yeah. Kind of boring if you weren't there to see it.
But it was fun. Watch on TV. Yeah, let's do it on the radio.
Yeah, that's right. Stuff. Yep, that's right.
We have seen this hour just roll by, so let's get to our Big Ten chat brought to you by the Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer, and Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with your Garrett guarantee.
Well, he seems like he's been here for 37 years, but he's still got a couple of good ones left in him. He's the quarterback of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, Mitch Leitner, and he joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Minnesota's always been good to work with, so Mitch, thanks for the time, and tell your guys thanks as well. And congratulations on the seasons you've had so far. We've talked with some of your teammates, and I guess we smile a little bit because we see Minnesota coming along and beat the Huskers, and so we know you must be legit because I think we're still pretty good on our end of the deal. How do you feel about the progression you've had so far in your first couple of years in Minnesota?
No, thank you. I appreciate it. But, it's been a fun few years at Minnesota. I mean, unbelievable, really, to describe it, because I came in and I didn't know if I was going to play tight end or linebacker, and to be able to, you know, playing quarterback and leading these teams back-to-back 8-1 seasons and continue to, you know, get better from here forward is really a great experience.
Well, that had to happen fairly quickly because middle of your sophomore years when you kind of took over the reins here. Talk about that transition, because like you say, you didn't know what position you're going to play, and it seems as an outsider, well, it happened pretty quick. It must have been pretty easy. It couldn't have been very easy.
No, it wasn't easy, but I think the way Coach Kill instills into your mind is toughness, and to be able to have that toughness and compete every single day is what really makes college football go around and make teams have success. And you know, that's one thing our team's got is a lot of tough physical football players, and football players is the key word there, because we got a lot of guys that can play a lot of different positions, and to be able to, you know, have that skill there was really not that hard. It was a matter of stepping up.
Can your brother Matt play a lot of different positions?
Yeah, he can play corner, safety.
I know we talked about that last year. Do you guys grow closer together? I don't want to say farther apart, because there's just, you make friendships and you're with your guys, you're with your position coaches. Is it different just a year removed?
Not really, no. I mean, we live together. Me and him live together, and we have a great time. I mean, I live with another offensive lineman as well and a linebacker, but I mean, really, we're with the whole team all the time and spending time together, and it's a great experience.
The leadership that you, is it just natural because you're the quarterback, or do you really kind of understand that's part of the thing, or is it really a role that you really relish?
I love the role. I relish it more than anything. I look forward to every single day. I come with as much juice as I can every single day, and you know, I go out there to captain's practices and I make sure guys are focused and locked in. And if anyone's screwing up, they're going to hear it from me. You know, I love taking on that role, and I understand what it takes to win football games, and I understand, you know, what it's going to take to win a Big Ten championship. And that's why, you know, guys listen to me, they look up to me, and they follow me.
Minnesota quarterback Mitch Leitner with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Are the goals exactly the same this year, or are they different, or are the goals just more attainable? How would you – could you just let us inside the locker room a little bit with that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our goal every year is to win the Big Ten championship, but like you said, it's definitely more attainable this year. We have better athletes, and even though we lost a couple guys on offense, you know, we got more depth now, and we got some great playmakers that you get the ball into their hands, and they're going to make people miss and score a lot of touchdowns for us. So that's what's really exciting, you know, on my end. And then, you know, running back as well, being able to hand the ball off to a big bruising back like Roderick Williams is going to be great. And, you know, we have a faster running back as well, Rodney Smith, who those two, a 1-2 punch combo, you know, we'll see how it goes during camp. But those guys could be a great combination in the backfield.
And you do a little running yourself. I had 111 yards, a couple of touchdowns on 22 carries against Nebraska, which set you guys up for a chance to win.
He doesn't
the Big
mind
10.
The contact at all, does he?
It is kind of unusual that a quarterback, you know, because a lot of times the quarterbacks is straight drop back, you know, looking to duck. You're not looking to duck. You're looking to run over. Talk a little bit about that mindset that you have.
Right. I mean, that's a mindset our quarterback coach kind of instilled in me was, you know, don't run out of bounds. You know, take the hit, whatever, move on. And, you know, by the time we got to Nebraska, you know, you're banged up enough last season where I did run out of bounds quite a few times. But, you know, there's a time and place when to bury your head and go and get that first down and die for it and get the contact. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely, you know, something that, you know, each year I'm supposed to try and get better at is, you know, taking less hits off my body. But, you know, I'm holding up, doing well, so hopefully I just keep doing what I'm doing.
And the last minute here with Minnesota quarterback Mitch Leitner, so we can get him on to his next spot. For as high as the football team had to be after the Nebraska win, it didn't end the way you wanted to. Two tough games with Wisconsin, you were right there, and then the bowl game against Missouri. Can you take me a little bit to where you were maybe in the locker room or the day after that Missouri game? And are you the kind of guy that uses that as motivation or a team that uses that as motivation?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of motivation there. A team that, you know, we should have beat, and we all felt like we should have beat. And, you know, it was tough because you got to know that we go through all those months of preparation and training, and now we got to wait all the way. But now we're only a month away now, so it's a good feeling. But, you know, it's just looking forward. You're like, man, we worked so hard, and we lost these last two games, and we could have won. So, I mean, but it does give you motivation, and every single day you got to keep that in the back of your mind, like, ooh, August and September is going to be here before you know it, so you got to keep working hard.
Well, if you want to help put Minnesota on the map nationally for the program, TCU is a pretty good opportunity for that.
No doubt, great opportunity, number two team ranked in the country, and, you know, we're gonna bring it.
Well, I can't imagine, because if TCU falls on that first game up there at Minnesota, Mitch Leitner's face, I'm sure, will be a big part of it. So, Mitch, we appreciate you dropping by for a couple of seconds here, and we will all be rooting for you on opening night. And we'll see you midway through the season when you take on Big Red.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
That's Mitch Leitner, quarterback, Minnesota. Good cat, good player, only going to get better. He's in that Tommy Armstrong spot in his career. I'm not comparing the two quarterbacks, but they're still have played a lot of college football, and they're only going to be juniors as they start this year. Our Big Ten chat brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of central and western Nebraska. But they're going to need Leitner this year without the strength at running back and tight end like he had last year. Now, they may have the guys to replace that. No one's saying that. Maybe somebody emerges, but it probably won't be on opening night, which is TCU.
Yeah, it looks to me like Minnesota is one of those teams that just about one of the I'm ready to make that move to win 9 or 10 games. But the expectations, you know, also are realistic enough that if they win 6, 7 games, it's not going to be a team that you look at and you're going to be just going, oh, well, I'm just amazed that Minnesota only won 7 games this year. They went 7-5. That's not going to be that amazing. You know, with Ohio State in there and Michigan State on that backside, though, Minnesota and Nebraska do have a great opportunity because this would be a good year maybe to catch a Wisconsin.
Tomorrow, Anthony Zettel is going to join us from Penn State to talk about the Nittany Lions and if they can
not only hold on to the three spot in the East, but maybe make a challenge there under second-year coach and Coach Franklin. So he'll be part of our show tomorrow. Hey, if you haven't been to Prairie Hills lately, you haven't been to Prairie Hills. That's right. Prairie Hills Golf Course, since taking over in February, Justin Kosmicki and his staff have dramatically improved the greens and playability of the course, and it is all at a price that seems like a generation ago. Pay only $30 for 18 holes and a cart on the weekends, even better during weekdays. Weekday deals and Facebook page there at Prairie Hills Golf Club will get you set up to find out more. With an improved menu in the clubhouse, improved greens, and great rates, if you haven't been to Prairie Hills lately, then you flat out just haven't been to Prairie Hills. It's only 10 minutes north of Kearney. Call for tee times and specials at 388-5115, 388-5115, and enjoy a great golf course, especially when it's at tip-top condition at Prairie Hills, just north of Kearney. As we mentioned, Alex Gordon in his rehab, this coming from the Kansas City Star, that he could be in Omaha playing as early as this weekend. And then the Royals have signed to a minor league deal Jabba Chamberlain, who was released by the Toronto Blue Jays after allowing 10 runs in 5 innings of work for their Class AAA team in Buffalo. He started the year with Detroit and actually started well. And in about 5 weeks, it went from Detroit to Toronto to now in Kansas City. And they're hoping to catch a little lightning in a bottle. They have pitching, so Jabba's going to not only have to pitch well in Omaha, he's probably going to have to pitch great in Omaha. And as you mentioned, they expand the roster September the 1st, and maybe he's on that. But the Royals aren't going to be in a spot right now with our friend Jabba Chamberlain to take any chances. But if he can get back to the form he has shown in the past, he could help them.
Yeah, I would think that Jabba Chamberlain, I'm going to predict that he's going to be in Kansas City. I don't know if they'll bring him up exactly September 1st, but they're going to bring him up some people and get that roster up to 40, and they're not going to try to use some of those pitchers, you know, and make him throw 100 pitches. They're going to get him to the point where they can do that, you know, for the playoffs and if they need him that well, but they're not going to do that September 15th to September 30th or whenever that season ends. That's something they're not going to do. So I think he's definitely going to probably be coming up to Kansas City. But he's going to have to do something well in Omaha first. He's going to have that one good game. That's all he's going to take, is one really good game or one really good showing that he's got that type of form, so they'll take that risk with him. Doug, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, on Saturday night, I'm standing up and the Royals score 6 runs in the second inning, and I'm, you know, clapping, and Perez homered and doubled in the same inning. And it was really a lot of fun, and we're standing up and cheering, and you know, and I thought, hey, that was fun. You know, that's what I wanted to have happen. And the pitcher for the Angels, he went to AAA that night. You know, here I am cheering, you know, and hoping we can get one more hit. And this guy's over here, he's fighting for his job. And, you know, hey, I'm fighting. It may not be in the major leagues ever again. And here I am jumping up and down like an idiot. You know, and this guy's going to go to AAA. So, I mean, that's tough. When you're out pitching at any time, you know, somebody at that major league level, they can make you look bad. Boy, and I'll tell you what, the Royals had some real quality pitchers not look real good. Our bullpen did not look real good against the Angels. You know, your earned run average is .025, and you get up 4 runs and get nobody out. You know, your run average goes sky high real quick. And same thing with Wade Davis. Wade Davis is giving up a home run for 12 years, and he gives up two in like the next 4 outings. So, yeah.
Yeah, one last night that changed the game and made it go extra innings a little bit. And also, again, getting back to Jabba, his spot with the Royals. He's not going to be a starter. He's not going to be a setup man. He's not going to be a closer. This is the kind of guy that comes in when your starter is beat up or you're behind, or comes in a tight game. Say it's 4-4 in the fifth and it's time to pull him anyway. He's only going to be asked to get an out or two. This is not or mop up. And that's never fun when you're the mop up guy, because there's a reason you're the mop up guy. They need an extra pitcher. You're number 11 or 12 on the pitching roster, and they need you because you're behind 7-1 in the fourth.
Well, you're exactly correct. Or a situation like last night. If the Royals don't score last night, Herrera's not going to go more than 2 innings. So who are they going to go to? They already used Davis. They already used Holland. You know, who do they go to? Well, they go to a guy like a Jabba Chamberlain, who they know has been there before and maybe can get him 3 or 4 innings, and he's going to try to beat a guy just like him on the other side. You know, because both teams now are in that situation where they're in that. So, yeah, you're right.
Well, they'll both end up in Omaha at some point, and I'm sure Werner Park will be hopping a couple of nights at their
both there. Also, as we mentioned last week, it didn't go well for the Nebraska state champion from Millard South out in Shelby, North Carolina. They lost 2 one-run games to start pool play, and then it didn't matter. They played the defending champions yesterday and got blown out. But, again, a run here, a run there. They're still alive in the semifinals, but they went 0-3, and so they're out. The Nebraska men's basketball team won their first of 4 exhibition games in Spain last night, 79-64. As we said, football started last week. All the other fall camps begin today for the high school athletes. UNK volleyball reports today as well. The Huskers started last week. Hastings is rolling, so a lot to talk about here in the upcoming weeks. Our high school football preview tomorrow with Dave Colling at Kearney Catholic. Our Big Ten chat with Anthony Zettel of Penn State. Damon Day, UNK baseball coach, will be in. We'll talk more about Java as well. We want to thank Sean Callahan of Husker Online, Ron Evans from Amherst, and Minnesota quarterback Mitch Leidner for being part of today's Duck and Daddy Show. Jimmy, have a good week.
Yeah, I'll see you Friday.
All right, sounds good.
You've been listening to a Duck and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.